Today's podcast is brought to you by Instant Technologies, the award-winning same-time vendor offering persistent chat rooms, compliance archiving, powerful queuing systems, and many other same-time solutions. Visit their website at www.instant-tech.com. Welcome to Taking Notes, the Lotus Notes and Domino podcast. Here are your hosts, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 25 of the Taking Notes podcast for Sunday, July 16th, 2006. I am Bruce Elgort, here with...
Julian Robichaud.
How you doing, Julian?
Hey, I'm doing good, Bruce. Just fine. Nice Sunday. It was a good weekend. It was nice and hot down here.
Same here. It's been in the... it's been about, I don't know, 80, 81, 85 degrees Fahrenheit. But here, you know, we don't have that much humidity. But for some reason, the sun always feels hotter here than it does on the East Coast. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, my sun feels hotter because it was in the 90s. So, that's the big difference.
Hey, it's been about a month since we did our last podcast. Sorry for the podcast silence there. But there just hasn't been, you know, that much news in the Notes Domino world. But I think we have some, and we'll be covering it today.
Some of it, anyway. We'll never get all of it. There's always too much.
Yeah, only when there's enough.
We'll get the good stuff, though.
All right. Well, why don't you start off with the good stuff?
Oh, the good stuff. The big good stuff. The Notes client on Linux good stuff.
7.01.
7.01, yeah.
Available July 24th, 2006 via Passport.
Yes, so if you have a Passport Advantage account, then you can go on to Passport on July 24th, which is, what is that, a week from now, something like that, this Friday?
Well, 16 plus 7 is 23, so it's going to be available when?
Monday
Come
week.
On. New math, there you
Monday
go.
Monday week, yeah.
Right on.
So that'll, and that, you know, I've been... I kind of really went between, gosh, I need to blog about this and talk about it and really consume all the information right away, and I need to wait and let it just kind of just see what comes out of it, because you know, if it, the news didn't necessarily trickle out, but we're still you know, before the 24th, we're not going to know that much. All we know is that it's available. But yeah, it's kind of neat, as you pointed out. It's actually a 7.01 release, and right. It's kind of weird, and it's sort of this special release. 7.02 is coming out, what, September, something like that? I don't know.
Fourth quarter sometime.
Yeah, so sometime later. And so this is actually, I don't know if it's like an interim release or what, but at 7.01, there's actually a post in the 7.02 beta forum, I think it's where it was, where someone actually asked, well, you know, are you going to be able to upgrade from 7.01 to 7.02 with this Linux client? The answer is actually no. Mm-hmm. So right now the plan is that they're kind of pushing this thing out there, letting people look at it, but it... I don't know. Have you heard if it's actually a supported release or if it's still kind of beta-ish?
I don't know. Remember offline earlier today we talked about how this could be a push to get some people to test pre-Hanover stuff. Is that what?
Oh
you're
yeah,
saying?
Yeah. Well, and that's you know, in a way, I think it's just kind of there's a little bit of brilliance to this because the Linux client so. Background for anyone who doesn't know, what they did is this is the client running on the Eclipse rich client platform, which is sort of the same thing as the workplace rich client, sort of not. Mm-hmm. Workplace rich clients build on top of that, but it's on that, and well, I guess I say that. For all I know, maybe it is the workplace rich client. I get confused between workplace and Eclipse sometimes. But there's some kind of rich client component. So you have this Java layer, and Notes is running on top of that, which is actually, from what we understand, exactly how the whole Hanover client is going to work, right. Where the Hanover client is going to be the Notes client running on top of the rich client. So this is almost, you know, like you said, sort of a preview of how Hanover's going to work, and I think some of the brilliance of this whole thing is that this is going to allow them to test that technology before Hanover comes out. Mm-hmm. You know, probably on a fairly broad base, and you know, there's some neat things about that. One is Hopefully this will get a lot of bugs out before Hanover comes out. Not that Hanover is necessarily going to be a buggy release, but it's there's a lot of newness to it, and I think this is actually going to put it on the desktops of some people who are willing to play with it. And the other neat thing is that the people who are going to be downloading and using this in the first place are going to be really your tech-savvy kinds of people. Pretty much the people that are running the Linux desktops right now, a lot of those people are your real techie sorts of people anyway. Mm-hmm. And so you get those guys downloading this. If they have problems, they're going to go out there and they're going to give you some really good debugging information. They're going to give you, they're going to probably work quite a bit with support. They're going to figure out ways to fix things themselves. And I think that's all going to be very positive because, again, hopefully that will make it a very smooth transition with the Hanover client because, if we can spend the next 6 months really working out the weird little kinks in notes running on Rich Client, through this, then, gosh, that's nothing but good.
Yeah, but Hanover's not planned to be released on Linux, is it?
I don't know. I was under the impression...
I thought it was Windows, Mac... Oh, maybe it is Linux. Sorry about that.
I don't know. And I'd look that up, but then we'd just be sitting here waiting for me to look it up. So maybe we'll figure that out.
There's such a demand for Linux in the enterprise now, though, right? On the desktop?
That's the big question. It's right now. In fact, with this release, this 7.01 Linux client release, mm-hmm. the initial push is for Red Hat Enterprise Linux. Mm-hmm. So at first, that's the only thing it's going to be supported on. There's supposed to be the press release said that later this year they're going to add support for Linux, the Novell SUSE. Whatever. SUSE. I'm not sure. How do you pronounce that? anyway, they said that's going to be supported, the SUSE Enterprise Desktop 10. That's going to be, the press release said it was going to be later this year. There was an eWeek article that actually said within 90 days. So I guess technically 90 days is later this year, but that's more of a tighter time frame. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and they're really just following the same line they've always taken with the servers in that they're only going to be supporting the enterprise distributions of Linux right off the bat. If we're lucky, then they'll consider supporting Debian. Because that's where the people that are using what you'd call free Linux, I guess, really a lot of those people are using Debian. I mean Ubuntu, certainly, but just Debian itself, mm-hmm. and that's got a very active community. And I think that they can really get away with running Linux on the server, on the enterprise Linux servers. They can get away with that, partially because. That's where the support is, so that you actually have support for your server. But also, how many servers do you have versus desktops? I mean, exactly. I think that one of the big value propositions for Linux on the desktop is, gosh, look at how many desktop licenses you save. On the server side, great, you save, in a small organization, a handful of server licenses. And in a large organization, maybe hundreds, but still, mm-hmm. that certainly adds up. And but desktops, I mean that even in a small company, if you can save yourself 10, 15 desktop licenses of Windows by using one of the free Linux operating systems, one of the Debian ones, then you're really it's more of an incentive to switch to Linux on the desktop. And frankly, I would guess that I don't know. If it was me, I I'm an IT manager who's looking at saving money by putting Linux desktops in the organization, maybe replacing some Windows machines with it. I'm certainly going to take a look at something like Debian first, mm-hmm. because there's just that much more money to be saved. And with Ubuntu, I think that Ubuntu even has some support options. I can't remember exactly how those are structured, but
so you don't sound too excited about all of Julian.
No. Well, yeah. Don't take that wrong. I guess I'm cautiously excited right now. I think it's it's fantastic they're doing it, and especially they're doing it what looks like 6 months early or something like that, or mm-hmm. Even longer. So I think it's a great step. It's for me, an Ubuntu user, gosh, I'd really like to see it running on Ubuntu. And honestly,
it probably will.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, when you talk about it, you know, like even on the server side, there's plenty of people that are running, you know, Domino servers on Debian right now, and usually with you know, compatibility between versions of Linux or distributions of Linux. It's not like the code is written so that, you know, it looks for a certain operating system or a certain vendor. Like, it right. looks to see if it's on Red Hat, and if it doesn't, if it's not, then it just doesn't run. I think the way the server works right now is if it looks and it's not on Red Hat or SUSE, then it just kind of flashes warnings, says you're unsupported, but, you know, go ahead. Yeah. And normally the difference is, you know, traditionally has been that it's missing a couple of libraries or, you know, just one or two little things, just some kind of...
usually something you could, you know, hack together and get working.
Right. As long as you can figure out what it is that's missing, what it is the software is looking for that it's not finding, then, you know, you can make it run.
Well,
it's
remember,
not supported, it's
gonna have
but...
No color printing and no smart icon support either, right?
Yeah, does it have same time support? I don't remember.
I don't know. We'll have to follow up and note that in the show notes.
Yeah, but you know, and frankly, I'm sure it's going to be better than the Wine version I've been using. I'm still using 6.5.1, I think, on my Linux box. I'm running it through Wine. I've never been able to get the Note 7 client to work using Wine, and so I'm still using 6.5 on that, which is fine, but. It'll be nice to have kind of an official way of running it on Linux. So I think that's good. And
July 24th. You'll get
and then you know the other neat thing about you know kind of doing this as the getting ready for Hanover is I'm not sure where I was going with that.
That's okay.
I lost myself.
It's okay.
There was something else I was going to say. I'm sure it was going to be brilliant.
I don't know
what it was, Bruce.
But, you know, my mind has been like that, too, because I got, like, 13 days till I get married. So, but we won't talk about that
I know.
Just wait. Let's go off in an orthogonal direction right now.
Okay. So that's eight-sided, right?
Eight-sided, that's right. So earlier today, I had a chance to talk to Rob Novak of Snaps about the Collaboration University seminars that they're going to be presenting in Kansas City, Missouri, and London, England. So let's take a quick listen to what Rob had to say. So Rob, tell us a little bit about Collaboration University.
Sure, Bruce. Collaboration University is the first and, to my knowledge, only technical conference solely dedicated to quick place and same time. It's as I said, a technical conference. It's being held in Kansas City, September 13th through 15th, and then repeated in London 2 weeks later, September 27th through 29th. The event's being run by four business partners, and we have a lot of assistance, a lot of help from IBM.
Excellent. How is this event, say, different than some of the tracks at Lotusphere? I mean, what's... you said earlier that quick place and same time are the focus, but you know we've had quick place and same time stuff at Lotusphere, right?
Oh, sure, yeah. I've been participating in delivering those sessions at Lotusphere for the last 6 years or so. But the thing with a large conference like that is that IBM has to cover all of their products. And in order to do so and to cover what's new and hot, they need to make room for that. So you'll see a couple, maybe three sessions on quick plays at the same time, maybe more when there's a new release out.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're striving to do here is to provide an atmosphere where a technical person can come for 2.5 days and get completely immersed in the technology progressively from start to finish, learning about quick plays or learning about same time.
Yeah, I think you guys got a great thing going here. And can you tell us a little bit about some of the speakers who will be speaking at the event?
Oh, sure. We have, well, my team from Snaps, and on the business partner side, Carl Tyler with Instant Technologies,
mm-hmm.
and Chris Miller with Connectria, and Gabriella Davis from the Turtle Partnership.
Mm-hmm.
From IBM, we have some great technical and development folks, as well as product management with David Marshak, the senior product manager for real-time collaboration, and Mark Panier, the senior product manager for workplace. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be talking about the what's going on right now with same time and what's going on right now in development with QuickPlace. Mm-hmm. And just found out the other day that we have, in fact, booked our keynote for London, and that's going to be Ken Visconti.
Excellent. So the event in Kansas City is going to be taking place between September 13th and 15th at the Hyatt Regency Crown Center. And the event in London is going to be taking place from September 27th to September 29th at the Sheraton Skyline Hotel and Conference Center. Anything else you want to add, Rob?
No, I think that covers it.
I think it's a great idea, and we look forward to seeing how it goes. And let's get some live reports from the event for the podcast.
Hey, that sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Hey, a couple other things that Rob and I realized that we didn't record after, we didn't put in the recording after we got done. Two things. One is that you get to have dinner with the speakers, not just lunch with the speakers, but you get to sit down to a nice dinner with the speakers at the show, including Carl Tyler, Rob Novak, David Marshak from IBM, and a whole bunch of others. And every attendee gets a free 30-minute consultation between 30 and 60 days after the show. And one other thing is that there is a $400 early registration discount, which expires on Friday, July 21st. Then a $200 discount is available until August 15th. And the
you
URL...
You guys left a lot of stuff out.
I know. But the URL for this is www.collaborationuniversity.com. So head on over there, check out what they have to offer. Again, this is focusing solely on Same Time and QuickPlace. So speaking of Same Time, looks like Same Time 7.5 is going to be out mid-August. Did you know that,
Julie? Woo-hoo! I didn't know that.
Well, there
I
you
didn't.
Go.
You're upper on the news than I am.
Well, haven't you seen the new ad campaign of the guy shooting, being shot? Was it a girl?
Shot out of the cannon? Was it a girl? I don't know. Yeah. There was a cannon. I remember that. A cannon and a hole in the wall.
Do you understand how that has to do with instant messaging?
I thought it was a bit suggestive.
What, the cannon?
Well, it's kind of Freudian, it seems like. You got a cannon and someone's kind of pointing towards this big hole in the... I don't know.
I don't know. Hey, we got to keep our clean...
Oh, sorry.
On the iTunes.
You know what? Go ahead and put a sound effect over that.
Hey, I will.
I think a couple of well-placed moves will just clean that sentence right up.
You know how we spoke of the Irish Lotus users group back in June? Well,
yes.
Warren Elsmore has posted on his blog. If you go to elsmore.net, that's ELSMORE.net, Warren has links to the keynote session by Ed Orthogonal Brill, Java Jumpstart by Thomas Duff, Domino Domain Monitoring by Kathleen McGivney, Content Publishing, Probation and Welfare Service, I don't know who that's by, Workplace Designer by Mark Wallace, DevBlast by Wild Bill Buckin, and How to Sell Notes in Your Organization with Libby and Gracia and Ed Orthogonal Brill. So,
Bruce, you're unbelievably prepared for this podcast.
Well, we haven't done one in a while, so... And it doesn't have the word wedding in it, so, you know. Yeah.
It's a welcome distraction, is it?
Yeah.
So are you going to be... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, speaking of Ireland, one other thing that I picked up from watching the... adjusting her microphone there, Julian.
Oh, you heard that? I'm sorry.
One other thing is that Paul Mooney said that a lot of the development for Hanover is being done in Ireland, so didn't know about that. So there we go. Hey, we covered Collaboration University. I'm really well prepared for this. I just want to mention... Two, that we want to thank, we're not done yet, but I want to thank Instant Technologies for sponsoring episode 25 of the Taking Notes podcast. So we talked about 701. Let's talk about 702. Notes and Domino 702.
Domino 702.
What is it?
What is
well,
it?
Well, you can get that.
It's orthogonal.
enough with the orthogonal, all right?
Oh, so you're the one that keeps saying it.
I know. Have you noticed that Ed hasn't commented on my blog, nor has he... well, we won't go there. We love you, Ed. So in the note, in Notes 702, Notes Domino 702, they're going to have what they call an innovation pack. It says Windows only here on the beta notes, and we spoke about this before, but the innovation pack is going to be, which is going to be included with the Notes client and contains several new features. The ability to subscribe from a public calendar in iCalendar format, which is good news. Support for RSS feed enabling of Notes databases, and the ability to run Notes from a USB memory stick, better known as Nomad.
Nomad.
So
the technology formerly known as Wanda.
Wanda. That's true. And Erlich Krauss had another name for it. I forgot what he called it. But it says here, Innovation Pack Windows only. I think this is a typo, so let's hope so. Hey, couple other things that I'm reading here. It says the type ahead feature now looks into the server address book first instead of the user's personal address book.
You know, let me tell you, just it's interesting you bring that up.
Can I throw the paper first? Hold on. All right.
Thank God. If they could only make that programmable to where when you're doing address lookups, if you could tell it maybe only look at the server or something like that, then that is just fantastic. But I guess let me kind of shift everything that I'm saying here. Type ahead. Okay, that's great for type ahead programming, and I'm hoping this also works for programming. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when you're doing any kind of programmable doc.send,
mm-hmm.
when you do doc.send,
local first.
Then it always looks at local first. I'm really, really, really hoping this means that doc.send will now look at the server first, because that would solve so many problems.
Well, let's hope so, and hopefully we can report on it in the right after the 702 launch.
Hey, will be testing it.
A couple other things. It says improved IM performance. Performance improvements made to Notes Instant Messaging include a persistent IM cache to prevent excessive ST resolve requests on client launch, reducing server load and improving performance, and adding timeouts and request removals to handle resolve requests that do not receive a reply from the instant messaging same time server. So I guess that has to do something, if I recall, that a Notes client can jabber away and take down the same time server. And in fact, I've seen that happen.
They were talking about that at Lotusphere. I think the it wasn't me, the developers. It was the other one, the Talk to the Geeks or whatever that was. I remember that came up, and I think someone from IBM actually stood up and said, yes, that has been a problem in very large organizations. We're working on it. So, that's nice they fixed it now and prior to 7.5.
Gurupalooza.
Is that what it's called?
Okay. No. That was the event. I remember someone standing up and asking that. So, hey, a couple other things. Enhanced language support, Windows only. Better integrated support for German reform spell checking. So,
thank goodness.
For all you listeners out there in Germany, there you go. Hey, a couple other things. Domino Web Access is going to be supported on the Macintosh client, but only under Firefox. That's okay. Also, please note that DWA does not support the Macintosh Safari browser. Again, I just said Firefox, so I misread my notes. Domino Designer is going to include support for additional DXL design elements, new elements for shared columns, shared file resources, and shared style sheet resources have been added. So there you go. User-defined HTML tag attributes. User-defined attributes can now be added to the HTML tag generated by the web engine. So there you go.
All right, now you're just reading.
I am, but hold on. Hello, hold on. Would you like to buy a used car? Custom doc type declarations, add internet certificate to user enhancement, Lotus Enterprise Script Builder ESB migration to Domino. How many people use that? Have you ever used that, the Enterprise Script Builder ESB?
I don't even know what it is.
All right. So,
no.
There we go. Couple other things in 702. Hey, you know how RSS readers don't like session-based authentication? Well, in Domino 702, is going to allow you to mark certain URLs to use basic authentication. So there you go. That you got to be careful with that, kids. So And Julian, I bet, can you guess what the next feature is going to be that I'm going to read off here?
I can guess just because I'm reading the same thing that you are.
All right, go ahead. And, that's how you knew.
I'm reading it too, and that's how I know when to stick my pithy comments in.
Well, go ahead and piff
so,
away.
All right, can I? Shall I read? Support for reading TNEF objects, windmail .dat attachments, and that has just been. Kind of a scourge for a lot of people, and there, I think that on the IBM side, I think there was somewhat of a feeling of, gosh, that TNEF thing it's a stupid Microsoft Exchange proprietary format, and we're just not going to support it, just like Microsoft isn't going to support our proprietary formats or something like that. But let me tell you, that's been it's just kind of a support nightmare, because no matter what you do, you're always corresponding with people in other companies, like, I don't know where Bruce works.
No way.
That use
a large Japanese manufacturing company that uses Exchange.
That uses Exchange, and people use Exchange. Sometimes they have their Outlook clients misconfigured, and you get these stupid windmail.dat attachments, and in the Notes client, there's just no native way to deal with it. And in 7.02, there will be, and it looks like, based on these notes, why don't I read it? It says, beginning with Domino 7.02, the MIME itemizer now recognizes TNEF objects, pulls out any attachments which are encapsulated, and adds those attachments to the message before writing it to the Domino router's mailbox.
There you go.
And what's really cool about that is
one server only.
If that whole thing is running on the server, which it looks like it is, you don't even have to upgrade all the clients to 7.02 right away. Mm-hmm. As long as you have your server upgrade to 7.02, boom, it just the mail.box just, or the router just kind of does everything for you, or
but,
something prior to the router.
But if you can't wait, what can you use now?
If you can't wait, OpenNTF has the product for you. I think it was 2 years ago that I wrote this thing. I wrote an agent that uses Java and this great JTNEF library that a guy wrote, put under the GPL license, and it does all the TNEF windmail.dat conversions, and it pulls the messages out, pulls the attachments out, and I wrote an agent that you could put in your mailbox, that you could just select a mail, run the agent against it, and it would automatically extract everything from windmail.dat, stick it in the email, and then it worked. And a lot of people downloaded it, a lot of people liked it, but I was also getting a fair amount of support emails from people who wanted to use it, but either like, gosh, I just don't even know how an agent works, and this Java thing is confusing, and can you help me out? And I really tried to help the people out, but it was still kind of a pain for those people who wanted it onesie twosie, and also for organizations that say, hey, let's push this out in our mail template, and then they have to kind of push it out to all the users and stuff.
You know
a thing or two about mail templates, don't you?
A couple of things. So,
a couple of things.
So what did you have to do?
So I wrote a mail-in database, and what the mail-in database does is you just set up one database on your server, and you tell your users, hey, if you have an email that came from an Outlook user that has a windmail.dat attachment, just forward it to this windmail extractor database, is what I called it.
Like a big sausage machine.
And it just grinds it, and so it you send it the email, an agent runs against the email and sends it back to you. If there were any windmail.dat attachments in there, or TNEF attachments, you get the email back with all the attachments extracted. And if there weren't, then it just sends you, it responds and just says, well, there's nothing to extract. And so this way, the administrators, all they have to do is stick this one mail-in database on their server, and then just tell their users, hey, when you get these emails, just forward it onto this database. It'll bounce the email back to you, and you'll have all your stuff.
Cool.
And so that seems to work pretty well. I tried to make it multilingual friendly. In fact, there was... I did the initial version, and some of the language strings were in the library itself. So you actually had to go in the library and change the language strings from recompile. I had instructions on how to do that, but you still had to, kind of recompile the agent, which not that big of a deal. But Gurko and I'm going to say his name wrong.
I know.
Do you know how to pronounce his last name?
Wolf Inskull? I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry, Gurko.
We'll link to him. We'll link to him in the show notes because he made the good suggestion that all the language strings should be customizable in the profile document that I was using for some of the other customizations. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. And so now it's pretty much a database with one profile document. And you get the database, you sign the thing, you give it a mail and database name, and then you just kind of adjust any of the language strings that you want to adjust and any of the settings, and boom, it just goes.
Cool.
And we've had some pretty good success with that. So if you can't wait for 7.02, or you know, for whatever reason you're still on 6. something, I think it only works with 6.0 and 6.5 and 7. Then hey, go to OpenNTF and try the Windmail Extractor database and see if that works for you.
Wolf Swinkle, Gurko, if I still didn't get it right, let me know. Hey, Julie,
that's a lot better than I would have done.
Can I keep reading?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
all right,
of course.
So 7.02 message journal captures full recipient names. So if you had a group in there, it's going to have all the names of the people that were in that group. I think that's kind of cool because you wouldn't know who was part of a group at a certain time that the message was journaled. And smart upgrade run as utility. So for those of you who have locked down desktops and your users don't have local admin rights, you'll be able to use this utility to package up your notes updates and push them out there, and they'll run as a local admin to get them installed. So that's all I have for 7.02. And just another note, just got an email today from Ben Poole, the author of Domino Wiki. Ben has the July 2006 OpenNTF Featured Application of the Month, and he let me know that version 1.1 will be available at the end of the month. So, woohoo!
All right. Hey, and speaking of just updates to the Notes client in general, since we're done with the 7.02 press release there.
I'm out of paper.
You're out of paper. I'm out of time.
I almost blew my coffee there. It's so easy.
There was that message in the LDD forum or notes.net forum for old timers.
Oh, yes.
And there was a message from someone from IBM, can't remember who it was, and he was requesting comment for how to modify the way that Notes Domino produces HTML for
printed
notes
tags,
forms.
Right.
And so, I mean, because right now you just get this horrible mess of tags. If you have even a simple Domino form and you adjust the font size or make something bold or whatever, mm-hmm. you end up with these font tags all over the place, and it's not very... It's not very pretty when you look at it in view source, but also it's very difficult to kind of adjust things programmatically, sort of at the class level and the style level and things like that, because Domino just kind of adds all these tags, and
right.
And there's it's very interesting. They're going to the forum and they're saying, hey, you know, tell us how you'd like it to look. And they actually gave, I think, like four examples of, well, we could do it this way, we could do it this way, mm-hmm. we could do it this way. What do you think? And, we're definitely going to link to that forum. I think Richard Schwartz was the one that linked to it originally where I saw it.
Correct.
And good for IBM for asking. You know, I think that's pretty cool.
I agree. So this is Domino server stuff for, I guess, the Hanover time frame. And if you, I can see Jake Howlett right now, just like, you know, just looking at that saying, thank you. So
yeah, well, and again, they're asking, you know, what will be most useful to you, you know, you guys who are actually doing something with this stuff,
mm-hmm.
Because you know, again, there's a bunch of different ways that they could change the output, and they're actually wondering, you know, how best to do it. I mean, you know, it's
just hit F5.
Like, just hit F5, exactly. There's, I'll let you give the background on that. We were talking about that earlier. And I'm sure no one heard us.
No, Mary Beth Raven, who's been, I guess, I don't know her exact role, but she's a designer for Same Time and the Hanover client. And she had on her blog, which we've linked to before and we'll link to again, asking people, right now in Notes, if you hit F5, you know, it locks the Notes client. So there was some discussion where the Hanover developers wanted to have F5 lock the entire operating system at that point. So if you're in Notes, you know, collaborating away and you hit F5, it would lock not only the Notes client, but your whole, you know, it would be like hitting Control and Delete Lock Workstation on Windows, and everyone stood up saying, no!
No, don't!
So that was where that came from, so.
Yeah, but again, I mean, it's kind of cool that they asked, because, you know, the old IBM would have said, well, you know, we have this F5 key, we don't think anyone uses it, and here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in this case, now all of a sudden, I'm not sure that it's more transparent, but it's, you know, a little more collaborative. I'm not sure. I think it's neat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, frankly, you know, there were a lot of people, when they originally started talking about F5, there's a lot of people that said, oh, gosh, you know what? I tell my users to use that whenever we change, you know, rights on the databases. You know, if you need to refresh the ACL, or roles or something like that.
Clear private data, clear private something, it says when you
understand. Yeah, and there's actually some legitimate uses for it other than simply locking your workstation. You know, it kind of refreshes the cache, or not the cache, but I'm not sure what word I'm looking for there. But yeah, it refreshes the thing.
Right.
And does this thing with the other thing.
Orthogonal collection.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Hey. Wow. It's we're pushing 30 minutes here. You got anything else, Julian?
Well, let's see. Adam Gartenberg
started
a blog.
Yeah.
Yes, and we interviewed him maybe the last podcast.
No,
a few podcasts
21,
ago.
21, I think.
So Adam, same time 5 guy, right?
Right, same time 7-5 guy, and he was on episode 21, and actually his podcast is pushing up against Brill's for popularity, so...
Yeah, and that was a good one. That was some really good information. And so he's got a blog now. He actually had a really interesting entry the other day where he said, instant does not mean urgent.
Yeah,
and I thought that was pretty neat. And you know, that's a perception a lot of people don't have. And you know, a little trivia. I was listening to the TWIT podcast the other day.
This Week in Technology with
Leo
Laporte, John Dvorak.
Yeah, kind of Leo Laporte and whoever he can drag along with him.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, they were talking about how the word Google is now in the dictionary or in one of the dictionaries, Merriam-Webster or something
right.
like that. And, well, one of the guys on there said, and I haven't had a chance to research this, but they were talking about how, you know, names like Kleenex and Xerox and Band-Aid and things like that are used to be brand names, and now they're verbs or, you know, descriptive words, and, mm-hmm. and how Google will probably fight the fact that it's actually a verb now and not a capital G instead of a small g.
Right.
Anyway, they said that one of the guys on there said that the word Instant Messenger is owned by, I think, AOL.
Hmm.
That, you know, you're allowed to say instant messaging, but if you say instant messenger, that's actually like a trademark term or something they own.
Well, who knows? Probably taking notes is probably trademarked by someone that's going to come, you know, try to serve us or something
we'll
like that.
We'll be sued out of existence.
Yeah. Well, taking notes, I'm surprised IBM hasn't, you know, served
us. Oh, yeah,
we
use the magic word notes.
Right, but we can use a lowercase n.
Oh, you're right, and that'll be fine.
Exactly.
Because then we'll say it's a verb or something.
All right. What else? We got Adam Gartenberg's blog. What else? Hey, next time let's talk about. I have a couple other things to talk about. The blogging community, which we've spoken about before. You know, what kind of impact does it have on the average Joe, 9-to-5 notes admin, developer, programmer, whatever. Let's talk about discussion forums, you know, the ones that are out there like LDD, AtNotes, Lotus User Group, OpenNTF, etc.
You know what? Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, Bruce, but
no,
I just realized that the Innovation Pack thing, when you were going through the things,
when
it didn't say anything. When you were reading it, it didn't say anything about the new blog template.
That wasn't
on the list.
Yeah, maybe they forgot. Again, you know, it's
that was the official list.
Well, how official?
Why isn't it there?
Oh, I'm sure.
I need to know.
And Steve Castledine, we're trying to hook up with him, who's the author of the template, the Domblog template, Domino blog template that's going to be in Notes 702. So we got him on the list, and we're just trying to tie up in time zones, make it a little bit difficult. But I'd like to thank Instant Technologies again for hosting episode 25 of the Taking Notes podcast. Tonight we're going to be, we haven't done this in a long time, but I have a friend who's got a group out of a rock and roll band out of New Jersey called Fly Me Courageous, and they just shot me over one of their latest songs called Levity, so we'll play that for you. And Julian, anything else, buddy?
No, Bruce, I'd just like to thank you for hosting this whole thing.
For reading from a piece of paper this time.
Well, you printed it out?
Actually, you know, it's really hard because you're wearing a headset, I'm using a microphone, I have bifocals.
Oh, yeah.
I have to look about a centimeter away from the paper to read it. So I finally figured out how to do it 25 episodes later. So, hey, how about next year at Lotusphere, we do our session like we're doing a podcast?
We could do that.
Cool.
Well, we'd have to have a session first.
As long as they allow me to do it in my underwear like I do it now, so.
Yeah, what the heck?
No, I'm kidding.
I'll wear a bathrobe.
Right. Hey, everyone, thanks a lot. We'll catch you real soon for episode 26 of...
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Of the Taking Notes podcast. I had to read
it. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, sorry.
Bye.
No.
My sad time.
Instant Technologies. I am turned on.